guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I was telling the guys that we came out way too slow. You know, we didn't have any energy the first quarter. I don't really know. Got to look at the film to see, you know, who did what plays we were calling, and, you know, who was open. But I'm not really sure.
Justin, why do you think that was? Just the lack of energy.
Say it again?
Why do you think that was the lack of energy you talked about?
I don't know. I felt it as soon as I came into the locker room. You know, I was, you know, trying to pick up the guys, everything, but still came out slow, still, you know, didn't come out with that energy that we needed to, especially with this type of team.
Welcome in to Mackie and Judd. No Phil today. He is with family, so it's Zolgad and Declan Goff. It is a Monday statements after a Vikings loss, and there you have what we like to call a can of worms being opened by Justin Jefferson, who is a very, Declan, reasonable kid.
Yep. I like him.
He's very young. I think he's 22. He is very measured, so he's not going off. He's not, you know, grilling people and saying, oh, man, we stunk. I will just start off statements by jumping off from that quote that you just played, because I think this is the A talker, if you will, from the Vikings loss to the Rams on Sunday. And I will just say simply this. And by the way, Jefferson had a lot more comments, some of which we will certainly play, but really that was the theme of the press conference, which is him saying as politely as possible that he's not pleased with things. And my statement is this, Declan: Justin Jefferson is 1,000% right. Justin Jefferson is right. I think his comments were dead on accurate. The building before that game, and I tweeted this out, and I wasn't the only person who felt this way. US Bank Stadium before that game on Sunday felt dead, and fans were coming in late. There was no buzz, no excitement. And Anthony Barr in his press conference pointed to that fact and said, I guess that when they did the pregame pep talk huddle thing, Zimmer felt it necessary to involve himself because the feeling in the stadium was so dead. And ordinarily, I think Dalvin Cook is pretty involved, and obviously he was not there because of COVID. And Barr said that's not an excuse, but the building was dead. Okay, that was true. I can confirm that. But, and this is what Jefferson is saying. Jefferson said, I walked into the locker room, and it was pretty much dead. Like, we had nothing. You were in the seventh and final playoff spot. And I know that's not great, but you know what? It's still a playoff spot. You had every chance with a very important, probably must-win home game to grab control, Declan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if the fans are going bonkers or if the fans are sleeping or if the fans don't show up. It's imperative for the team, a team in that case, to create its own momentum and to be excited for that game. So I don't want to hear that this is on the fans. If the fans choose to be engaged, awesome. If they choose not to be, awesome too. They're paying tickets, prices. It's their right. Everything Justin Jefferson said, though, is absolutely correct. And the fact that a 22-year-old has to make the observation that he went into the locker room before the game and sensed that and tried to get guys up, inexcusable, a huge red flag. Anything that you want to say is accurate. That is as concerning as possible. And so Justin Jefferson is right.
Yeah, I would even say, I just buried in my statements, but you kind of kicked off with it. I'll just say, boo this team. That's one of my statements, is boo this damn team. For all the fans who showed up either expecting a big Vikings win or you showed up with that little bit of a Christmas hangover, you should be able to boo this team if they come out like that. And they have numerous trips to the red zone and they have every opportunity to win that game. And you come out like that and you put up that kind of performance, you should boo the team. Should Anthony Barr come out and blame the fans for not showing up? Not necessarily, but is Anthony Barr accurate when he says the fans didn't have that energy? Because everyone watching on TV, it looked quiet. You said it looked quiet. Other reporters said this is as dead as it has ever felt in U.S. Bank Stadium pregame. Pregame hype at U.S. Bank Stadium. I mean, if you ever want a little extra jolt of just adrenaline, go to pregame at U.S. Bank Stadium. Typically, it's a fun time. And that wasn't existing going into the Rams game, and it clearly bled over. Like, if they wanted to, Judd, if that building was quiet to start, all right, it is Christmas. It's the day after Christmas. Things are just a little quiet. But if the game picks up, if you get those big interceptions, which Anthony Barr gave you, if you are able to convert into the red zone, well, now all of a sudden that building's buzzing. It's on the team then to also deliver on that, and then the fans will follow that lead. No, it's not what happened. So boo that team.
Yeah, exactly. But I just can't. Well, one, I shouldn't say that. I'll start again. I can believe that this team, because this team is so in some ways weird and not likable, I can believe that they weren't excited. But it is hard to believe that with what was at stake, and by the way, in a very winnable football game, in a game that Matthew Stafford and the Rams time and time again tried to give you. And if you win that game, you basically grab that final NFC playoff seed by the throat. And to have Justin Jefferson have to point this out. And again, I mean, he is 22. He's a star player. He's a great player. But you've got Kirk Cousins. You know, you've got Anthony Barr. I know that Dalvin didn't play, but you've got a lot of veteran presences there, right? Who are supposed to use the cliche, supposed to step up and supposed to do a job of making sure that players are set to go. And the Vikings weren't. And this is just another symptom of the problem. This is just the latest symptom of what ails this team. And I don't care who you want to defend or who you think is good, because there are some good players. There's some very talented players. But that's just another sign when you go into a game that has enormous playoff implications for your team, and Justin Jefferson has to say, yeah, we'd really... And I mean, he wasn't making excuses, and he wasn't spouting cliches of, well, we just didn't... He was mad because he knows what winning looks like. Right. He's won a national championship, right? He knows what it looks like to win. And basically what he is saying in the kindest way possible is, I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who have no idea what this is supposed to look like. I mean, the number one seed at stake or the seven seed, you're a player, and it's a game with playoff implications.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do think that this is an incredibly important discussion point, because this is the future right now. That was, in fact, statement off a statement. That was a message, Declan. That was, to me, the latest message that change has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, when you have that guy, this is not some like backup who's frustrated. This is a star player. This is a fundamental, foundational piece of your franchise, hopefully for years and years to come. This is a guy who eventually is going to get paid big and deserves that. And he is telling everybody, that statement by him is a statement to everybody, ownership, his teammates, coaches, fans, this is not acceptable. Something has to change here. That's what I heard from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a player to come out after the game and have that, I mean, as reporters, as fans, as media members, like, I love honesty. And for Justin Jefferson to come out there and say that, that's great. If you have this preconceived notion of, well, he only said that because it's right after the game and he's pissed and he's forced to go up there on the microphone and talk about it. Well, good. Go up there and be pissed,
that's
Justin
what he's being
Jefferson.
Honest. But that's
honesty.
That's when guys, that that's the thing is, players and coaches want to say, well, by Wednesday we're calmed down. No, by Wednesday
no.
You're lying.
Yeah.
By Wednesday you're telling us BS. So this whole thing about, well, in the heat of the moment, that's what we want. That's when you're going to fess up.
Yeah.
And good for Justin for doing that. Because, I mean, there's a lot of, well, we just got, you know, we got to go look at the tape again, right? Which he said, but he didn't say that in the context of, I don't really know, so
correct.
I can't talk about. He is telling you flat out, honestly, in a moment of passion for the game he plays, which is what everyone should want, and for players to be like, well, he was just upset. Yeah, he was upset. He had every right to be upset. So, yeah, don't give me this. Well, right after a game, it's not a good time to talk to a player. No, it's the best
time
to talk to a player.
You fools.
He's going to fess up. God. Floor is yours.
All right, my next statement. I'll combine a little Christmas theme with that Vikings game. And it's the following statement is this. Even when you get stocking stuffers, you still have to open your presents. I'm not talking about myself here. I had a great Christmas, stocking stuffers and presents alike. I'm talking about Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay giving the Vikings stocking stuffers that were packed to the brim. The Vikings stocking was hanging at US Bank Stadium, and both Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay filled up that stocking with a bunch of goodies, right? Like, usually the stocking is just full of little knickknacks, maybe a little candy or a treat. Not the big stuff, but you get some good stuff in a stocking sometimes. You find some nice little hidden gems. And Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford cooked up a storm for you to give you a nice stocking. And the Vikings saw that stocking, and they said, oh, wow. Because some people like to get their stocking first before they go up their presents. So they say, oh, great, this is my stocking. It's got all these little knickknacks. This is going to be a great Christmas. And instead of going back upstairs to open your presents, the Vikings said, no, we're good. We're going to just take the stocking stuffers. We're not going to open up the presents, which could be even bigger than what we got in the stocking. And instead, we're just going to continue to look at our stocking here and say, this is all the great things that are inside here. I'm not going to go up and see what Santa gave me. I'm not going to deliver the fans a big win after McVay and Stafford gave you every chance to basically win that game. I mean, McVay neglected to stop running the football against a defense that can't do it. Yeah, you went upstairs and said, no, I don't want to open up these presents. This Vikings team had every chance to win the game, and they bleeped it up. I mean, missing Jefferson in the red zone. Terrible play calling by Clint Kubiak in the red zone. This was an opportunity to make it the best Christmas ever, and you blew it. So kids and football teams alike, when you see a good stocking, that's fine. But go upstairs and open your presents. Go up in your presents.
And Justin said postgame too, the red zone. Why aren't we more aggressive? And he's exactly right. And the Rams gave you that game. Matthew Stafford was terrible. Matthew Stafford was awful. He threw three picks. It could have been five. Cam Dantzler, how he didn't pick off that OBJ intended target on the Rams opening series, on which they, by the way, scored a touchdown. I don't know. He just dropped the ball. There was another pass. Easily could have been picked. There were five potential picks and probably more. Matthew Stafford was terrible. McVay, I know he's a bright, young, play-calling offensive mind, but I'm with you, Dex. I have no idea why he wanted to put so much trust in a quarterback who was clearly having a bad day.
Right.
When Sony Michel was slicing through you like butter. There's no question that the Vikings being flat cost them, too. Because there were momentum opportunities there where you could have ridden that wave. And by the way, to your point from before, if you ride that wave, guess who gets really excited and really loud for an extended period of time? That crowd. And you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You're 1,000% right. Which leads to my next statement, Declan Goff. The greatest mystery of the 2021 Vikings, and there's a lot of them, is the run defense. I know Hunter is hurt, and I know Griffin is out, and I know that makes it easier to get around the edge because the edge is not set as well. But I still challenge you, film gurus, film warriors. I challenge you, though, to show me how the edge not being set as well is impacting the fact that Sony Michel, I'll say that again slowly, Sony Michel, I didn't say Earl Campbell, I didn't say Walter Payton, I didn't say Eric Dickerson, the former great Ram, I said Sony Michel, who was picked up for the Patriots and basically slapped in the Rams lineup, how he gouged this defense time and time again, which had Dalvin Tomlinson, which had Michael Pierce, which had Eric Kendricks. The linebackers were all there. The A-gap, the people defending the A-gap, the middle of the line were all there. And yet the Rams became the latest team to slice through this run defense like it's butter. 159 yards, 131 from Michel. Now, I will say this. It's an improvement on a year ago Christmas Day when Alvin Kamara rushed for 6 touchdowns and the Saints went over 200 yards. But do you remember, Dex, on that day how Zim basically defiantly told us, this is the worst defense I've had?
Yeah.
And then the Vikings went and tried to fix it. And Pierce, who opted out in 2020, he's been playing now. Tomlinson was signed as the big free agent acquisition. And again, the Rams gouged you all day long. There's a lot of frustrating things, a lot of them, about this Vikings team. But I honestly think the most inexplicable is just how flat out bad a unit that was supposed to have been largely fixed has been. Run defense.
Yeah, it's been remarkably bad. I mean, that was their emphasis this offseason. And Zimmer said that we're not going to have that ever happen to us again. And it'd be one thing if it was, you know, Alvin Kamara or Derrick Henry running up against you, one of the better backs in the league. But instead, it's Sony Michel, some slappy, as you like to say, basically, who is carving you up. And it's not to say that, like, well, the Vikings still shouldn't go into next offseason and try to fix their run defense because they have to. They just statistically cannot continue to run that back with that type of run defense. But in terms of the resources that they have spent to try to fix it, it's been bad. And I you know, Dalvin Tomlinson was a good player with the Giants, and it sounds like Michael Pierce was really playing through injuries up until about a few weeks back, and he pushed himself through. So was he not 100%? No. But at the same time, you would expect that Sony Michel and the Rams would not run all over you like they did. And it's been a theme all season. They're now, what, I think 26th, 27th still? They're bottom five in run defense. They're a sieve. They're an absolute sieve. So it's unfortunate because that's where they put their resources, basically, in free agency, was to sew up their run defense. When, now looking back on it, probably just should have used that damn money to go get Joe Thuney or go get an actual offensive lineman. That's what you should have done.
It would have helped. Back to you.
My next statement. I will say this. Everything is on the line this week in Green Bay. Everything. Zimmer, Kirk, Spielman. If the Vikings lose to the Packers, which basically will nullify any chance of them making the playoffs because they're ready at slim support right now, you can bet the Wilfs can get a jump start on starting this fire sale a week early. There's no reason to wait until the initial Black Monday or take time after the season to assess. If you lose the Packers, it's time to pack it up and start this process. With the NFL now allowing coaches to interview for jobs, let's start that process. We don't have to wait until a self-reflection moment in middle of January to start that. If you lose to the Packers, it's over. I know Zimmer seems like the most likely one to go because he's the head coach and the easiest one to be the scapegoat. But let's be honest. Kirk hasn't played well over the last 5 games. Spielman is the one everyone still is iffy on. But it's been 728 days. Shout out to X-Twins News, our friend of the show on Twitter, who pointed this out. 728 days since the Vikings have been over 500. And that's no longer bad luck. That's not weird pandemic COVID season. That's a 2-year sample size of this roster not being good enough. And as much as we want to blame Zimmer and blame Spielman's roster construction, it hasn't been up to par. And Kirk's cap hit is too high next season to not try to fix this roster right now. Kellen Moore and the Cowboys put up, what, 35 points in the first half yesterday against the Washington football team.
Woo.
And you may as well start that process. If you're going to lose the pack, you're going to play a meaningless game against the Bears, start that process early. And I don't know if you're not going to blow out both of Zimmer and Spielman on that Monday after you lose, if you were to lose, excuse me, in Lambeau. But right. I do think the process starts immediately this time next Monday when we're recording right now. If the Vikings have lost to the Green Bay Packers, we're talking about someone being fired.
Interesting. Let's unpack that because I see the direction that you're going in. Here's what I don't know. So if they're going to start to talk to prospective or try to get a jump on, which I think you could start actually today, but
yeah,
if they're going to try and get a head start on talking to prospective head coaching candidates, they're not going to fire Rick a week from today. And if Rick's going to get kicked upstairs, they might start the process. If Rick's going to be fired, I don't know if there's a lot of use in starting a process that's not going to involve the new GM. And I guess that's my question. And if Rick is going to be kicked upstairs and you're going to bring in a GM to replace him, Do you start the process of talking to people before you've identified and or pulled the trigger on that GM? I get your point. And my personal feeling is this, and it's my gut feeling. I don't think they're going to fire Mike before January 10th because he's been here so long and they like him. But I can see the argument about making that move now. However, if they fire Mike a week from Monday and they're like, well, this is going to give Rick a head start on trying to find a new coach, then I'm like, hold on a second. So Rick is going to survive this unscathed, which I don't like. So I guess I have mixed feelings about your direction, which I completely get. Because I think this thing just needs a complete change. And if Rick gets kicked upstairs to like president or some type of title, I'm fine with that. Because I think that's probably, as was floated, I think, by Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, a couple of weeks ago, I think that's probably a likely scenario. I don't think Rick is going to be fired flat out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, man, I just look at this entire thing and I think it needs fresh sets of eyes. And that's why I want the new people to come in and determine Kirk's fate. Because I could see being done with Kirk, but then I could also see deferring to the new people and saying, okay, clean slate. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm torn on your idea because I like being able to talk to people right now, potentially. But if it's going to be, and Rick's going to conduct the search, then I'm like, that's not thorough. That's not as thorough as I would like.
I guess the broad scheme or the macro of my conversation is, well, if they lose the Packers, it's over. Like, it is over. The micro is, how quickly are we starting that process? Are we going to wait till the Black Monday? Right. Are we going to have a self-reflection? Like, if you lose the Packers, it's over. Like, I just think the three-headed dragon there in Zimmer, Spielman, Cousins, I think it's over if you lose the Pack.
In fact, I will take that statement and run with it by saying this. I want it to be over. I don't want, at this point in time, when you flat out come out and play like you did yesterday, I don't want some weird now, well, we won our last two games and we got back into that seven seed and we're the Minnesota Vikings. We don't give up, right? We furiously rallied. I don't want that crap. I've seen this before. I've seen it in St. Paul. So have you, Declan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that. I would much prefer that they go into Green Bay, that they lose. I don't care if they get waxed or they lose by three or by one score, one touchdown, which is what this team has made into a fine art form in 2021. I don't care how it takes place. I want it to be done. I really do. I see no useful purpose in this now. Do you? Like, and you are certainly a bigger fan of the Vikings than I am at this point. I want them to be good because it's more fun personally. But I mean, do you see a point in like sneaking in? Because I think what we saw when you can't show up when you're in the seventh playoff seed and like this game is huge. And by the way, it's at home and you show up like with the day after Christmas, I got to go back to work. I'm just done. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm done with the, we got to look at the film. No, we don't. I've seen enough. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm mostly done with it as well. to your point of reminding it of the old Wild Guard, that's where I'm at as well. I mean, it feels awfully familiar. It just feels, it's so similar.
It's just the same characters.
Yeah.
We got our Parisis, we got our Suitors, we've got our Granlins, we've got our Zookers. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, even 4 years back, when that run for the Wild was ending, like, and we had this conversation on Ventline yesterday of, well, who is the other core guys that you'd like to keep around? And you and I yesterday on the defensive side of the ball, like, well, I guess Danielle Hunter, right? Like, he's an elite pass rusher,
Like
Eric Kendricks, who I like, is kind of now also his grades are taking a nosedive. Harrison Smith's play is not the same as he used to be.
And he's paid a ton.
And all those Wild players all the young Wild players, the Granlin, Nino, Zucker, all of them were axed too. Like, no one has been kept around.
And here's the scariest part, because they're both good. And the parallel is probably more Suter than Parisi. Kirk Cousins is Ryan.
Yep.
He is. He is because the same things, right, applied. Ryan was a good player. Ryan was a hell of a player, right? But it's always like there's something missing here, right? Like just behind the scenes, what's missing here? It's the same guy. All right, let's pause here briefly because you know what?
Oh God.
Our statements are fine. Our statements, I mean, they're fantastic. Don't get us wrong. But more importantly than our statements, Randy from Cottage Grove. Yeah, that's right. Mackie's not here. Randy from Cottage Grove is going to give us his thoughts unvarnished.
No, I think when you look back at the plays, you know, we right off the turnover, you know, we called a pass and took a sack. And so that drive kind of got set back because the first play, you know, we didn't, you know, have a good productive play. We took a sack. So I go back and I'm hard on myself saying, you know, how can I avoid the sack? How can I get the ball out quickly? So, you know, I think there were plenty of times to be aggressive and take our shots. We just, you know, didn't make it happen when they were called.
Kirk Cousins after the Vikings lost to the Rams on Sunday, and from Kirk to our guy Randy in Cottage Grove. Randy, are you doing okay after that devastating loss on Sunday?
It was in my opinion, it was another game that could have been a W. So that part of it's frustrating, but. Again, as we've discussed, it just got to make sure there's enough runway to get this thing in the air before the playoffs. And we're going to be playing meaningful football in January. So what else could you ask for?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you're still fine?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I got like, there's only – are we mathematically eliminated or not?
Not yet.
Not technically.
No.
Okay. Well, who's going to – the right attitude is going to be to pump these guys up. Get them – get them jacked. As far as I can tell, there's two games left, and they're both must wins.
Is this the same guy who I believe after his team lost at Detroit was crying? Is this you, Randy?
I was processing emotion, Jeff.
Jeff.
You know the reality is it's going to take a team effort from everybody. The guys on the field, the coaches on the sidelines, Zim, Andre. You know, Clint, Kubiak, and then the fans. If you don't, you know, if you're not on board, what do you want when you sit there in, July, August? Think about, well, sure hope the games we're playing in January mean something. They do. I'm trying to keep a positive head on my shoulders and do my part.
Randy, I'm a little surprised here. You know, the Vikings lost a very pivotal game yesterday to the Rams, and you're upbeat. I it sounds like the Vikings won the game. You don't sound like you're that devastated.
Because we're not eliminated. Washington lost. They look like a bunch of bozos out there. I just until that little asterisk says can no longer make the playoffs. We can still win the Super Bowl right now.
Oh wow!
We have all the math is in our favor if we just take care of business and get a little shake of the dice.
Wow! I have a feeling that you didn't drink during the game, and that's the problem because you seem like you are upbeat, fresh as a daisy. I feel like you didn't drink.
Yeah, well, was there no victory shots yet? Well, I know there was no victory shots yesterday, but.
Bummer shots.
Yeah, bummer
shots. It's a HIPAA. It's a HIPAA violation.
That's not HIPAA, Randy.
To nose around, but I am on an antifungal, taking an antifungal.
What is that?
Related to a medical condition that I have, and I can't consume alcohol for 7 days.
Jockage?
Tinea cruris is the name. Is a medical condition, and right now an antifungal is the approach we're going to take with this thing and try to knock it out before New Year's because I got to drink on New Year's.
How did it come back?
It just goes dormant. It comes in. It's too much. This is go ahead and look it up if you want. Tinea cruris. It's a real thing.
Get your tell me
deal with it and they make a plan and they get on top of it. We hope that's what we hope. So I couldn't have any YAG yesterday.
Yeah, I see.
The YAGerator was flowing, not for me. The guests went for it, but I'll be having cocktails by the end of the week if this thing clears up, and that's the best news. Yeah, we hopefully some victory cocktails next weekend as we knock down one of these two must wins. I'm jacked. I'm excited.
This is weird.
Could still be very bright.
Acceptable. Our contract with you specifically says that you have to be three yegs in on Monday after a loss. Forget about the Sunday drinking. This is all right. Dud time.
Right. Is there a dud stable though? Do we even have it?
Do it.
It feels weird.
Do the duds, and I'll.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and motivate some people here.
All right. Go ahead.
This is the unnecessary loss against the Rams, but that's okay. We're gonna be playing football in January. That means something, and that's great. So here's some duds. Starting out, Washington football team. You went out there and you played against Dallas and you got your lunch. They fed you your lunch. Washington, you're a dud. Philadelphia, people left you for dead earlier in the year. You think you can just scoop up now and take our seed? Nuh-uh.
They won their game yesterday, Randy.
Philadelphia, you're gonna flop. You're gonna drop a couple here down the stretch, and we're gonna win out. And that's because you're a dud.
What?
And then, everyone in the NFC, take notice that you know we're the team you don't want to play right now. Okay, so Green Bay, you think you're just going to lock up home field? You think it's going to be that easy? Well, take a look because we're coming to town, and when we beat you, you're going to be a super dud. And then last but not least, all the fans who think this is over. You know, take a peek in the mirror. Everyone said the stadium didn't have a vibe. Get a little rowdy. Put a little ass into those cheers. Put some thunder behind those skull claps. And will the guys do victory here? Two times now is all we need. So if you don't believe, get off the bandwagon because you're a super duper dud.
Hang it, and he's gone. But what the hell was that?
He wasn't.
I think someone has hijacked Randy.
No, he didn't drink yesterday. We found out why. He didn't drink. Hmm. I could tell right away he didn't drink. Because he had the pep in his step, like the voice.
Sure.
He was too upbeat. Yeah, that was...
I'm confused.
Don't be confused.
He calls the Eagles won their game.
So he suffered from well, he's not that bright, but he has suffered from jock itch for a long time, which he elects to call by its proper name.
Hmm.
And so he's on these meds. I knew he didn't drink right away.
I mean, I drank on Christmas night. I was fine yet. Well, I was.
I know. But I mean, after the Detroit game, he was crying partially because he was upset and partially because he was probably still drinking at the time. So anyway.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll have to tell Phil that.
I'm a little concerned.
I feel like he violated his contract with us. I mean, there's not a contract, but I feel like he did. Okay.
Weekend statements?
Yeah, let's do some weekend statements. Do some weekend statements. I got to recover from that. I was expecting a full-scale meltdown.
I'm a little disappointed.
I was expecting, like, lashing out, and we didn't get
you know,
that
our listeners threw me under the bus when I neglected to lead with Randy
sure
on a headline. And it'll be out there, but...
Make sure you get it out there.
Comment on our YouTube... Are you as... I'm disappointed in that dud stable. I'm disappointed. I wanted a meltdown.
I'd prefer you go back on the booth.
I would,
that's
too.
All I'm
gonna
say.
Okay.
I'd prefer he's back, and I mean, what? Yeah. All right. Here's my first weekend statement. In fact, you know what? I'll make the statement right to you because I know that you are going to be among the thousands of people at Target Field on Saturday. Get your Chill Boys long johns in bulk and do it today. That's my statement. High of 9 degrees.
Yeah, man.
From what I've been seeing, high of 9 degrees with a chance of flurries, and don't forget. That high, of course, for the Winter Classic on Saturday, January 1st, is the daytime high. The reality is this game is going to start after, I believe, what, 6 o'clock? 6:30?
Yeah.
To avoid the glare from the sun, which has caused problems in these outdoor hockey games. Well, I'm looking at my phone right now, and the low on Saturday, according to my phone, is minus 8 degrees. So by the end of this game, it's probably going to be far closer to -8, and that's actual temp, not wind chill, as opposed to +9. So get your chill boys long johns, get them in bulk, and wear as many as you possibly can. This is going to be a frigid experience.
Yeah, get your long johns, get your new coat. Actually, I have to go. I wasn't able to do it yesterday, but I need to go get a new winter jacket. I was hoping for Christmas that Santa would bring me a nice new. I don't have a nice thick winter coat. Like, I have a nice pea coat,
like down,
yeah, like a nice Jefferson Columbia, or yeah, like one that Jefferson was wearing.
That's
like
a nice jacket.
That's like my rent, I'm sure, in that coat. So I would probably can't afford that unless Dan Seaman has a nice Christmas bonus for me waiting that I'm not aware of, and I don't think that's happening since it's post Christmas. No. I need a new winter coat to stay warm at that event, because I can tell you right now that if Brother Liam and I, and by the way, Brother Liam will be the final guest listener on Write That Down on Wednesday. There's been an executive decision made to bring on Brother Liam for one more round of predictions in 2021.
I saw his note last week.
So
he basically demanded it.
He demanded it.
Strong-armed you.
He was granted.
He strong-armed you.
I will say by default a little bit. He strong-willed his way into getting on. I also was having problems booking it, so it was a whole thing.
You're like the Cuomos, man.
Yeah, we are.
You're like the Cuomo brothers. I mean, fait accompli.
But I will say that, I mean, Brother Liam and I will have no problem spending money on the domestic beers, which will be obviously flowing at the Winter Classic. Like, that is no problem. The domestic beers will keep us warm to a degree, but we do have to still layer up and not cause asses of ourselves. Because I will say, if Brother Liam and I are together with domestic beers flowing, bad things can happen, which is why I'm surprised they don't want you to meet us up for a drink, before or after the Winter Classic, or let us come over to the Zolgad household with Stella.
No, I don't need you guys here. No, this could get ugly.
Yeah,
I'm too old for that
but
crap.
I think it is. Michael Russo put out it's tracking to be, I believe, the coldest Winter Classic on record.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course it is. Of course it is. Now, here's my guess. I think you guys are going to last two periods, and in the third, stadium bar. So, like, you won't leave, but I think it's going to be... I went to a game with Don and a friend at Madison, I don't know, 9-10 years back now? Outdoor game at Camp Randall between Badger hockey team and Michigan.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is going to be... It was absolutely frigid. I think we lasted two periods. It just gets to be too much.
Right.
So, I'm putting you guys on two periods and the third in a stadium bar.
Okay.
So, like, you won't leave.
Right.
Because it's still going to be cool to be there.
Absolutely.
But, my God, trying to sit there for three periods is going to be a real chore. If it started with the sun up, I think you might blast. But this thing's going to start after the sun goes down. So, anyway, good luck to you. I'll be in the press box.
Yeah, have fun with that. I'll say another Minnesota Wild statement for you. With Joel Eriksson Ek on the mend here, he's out indefinite. Well, out for sure through the next week at least. And I also heard Jonas Brodin was not present at practice today on Monday morning as well. I don't know if that's maintenance. I don't know if that's just a little boo-boo from Christmas. But my God, they're dropping like flies.
What's the boo-boo from Christmas?
I don't know. Hurt liver?
They haven't played in...
Knee hockey game getting out of hand with Kirill and the kids. You know, I don't know. Maybe him and Spurgeon's kids. You know, you took a knee hockey stick to the kneecap. That'll do it. But my statement is, please call up Marco Rossi. Call up Marco Rossi. Bring him up here. Get a legitimate center. I'm not going to watch these slappies at the Winter Classic, which is almost what it's looking like. I mean, I know they're bringing they're bringing the taxi squad back. I heard for the NHL this season, now that all these players are getting on the COVID list and whatnot. But call up Marco Rossi. Give me something to watch when I'm at that Winter Classic. Brother Liam and I want to have a beer in hand and watch Marco Rossi skate up and down the ice at Target Field.
Well, dude, the Blues are falling like flies too. COVID. I don't know what to tell you here. No, seriously, like this is going to be, you're going to be watching some Iowa players. Now, I think the Wild actually has had a relative run of knock on wood, good luck with COVID.
Yeah.
But Spurgeon out, Eriksson Ek out. I didn't know until you just said it now that Brodin didn't practice on Monday. I saw the Blues put a few guys on, and I think that they're in the 10-day protocol now. So, enjoy the sights, the sounds, and the jerseys. because I don't think you're going to have a lot of players playing in that game, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I'm going to give you a Wolves statement.
Please do.
And it's going to be a question statement, okay?
Okay.
What's the point? Have you seen... So the Wolves are playing the Knicks tonight and the Celtics, I believe, tomorrow?
I'm going tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, have you seen...
I might be playing for the Wolves tonight.
Have you seen what you're going to see?
Yes.
Which is a roster of guys? So our friend Dane Moore tweeted out basically the available players. And D'Lo went on the protocol list, I think, on Christmas Day. The available players reads like a G League's who's who. I was going to go, but now I'm like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to watch it. But this is like, what's the point? At some point in time, I don't know if you shorten your season or what, but unless they're going to change, and I know that football did this and the NBA is talking about this, unless you're going to shorten the protocol for asymptomatic players who test positive or do something different, like, you are literally providing the public with garbage.
Let me give you the list of players that you're referencing here. Dane tweeted this out. Players that are available for Monday's game against the Celtics. Jordan McLaughlin, Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, Jake Layman. Now, here we go. Ready for these names?
Well, and by the way, Jake is, God bless him. Sure, he's a great human being, but he's no great shakes.
Nathan Knight. Chris Silva, Rajon Tucker, Leonardo Balmero will be available, and so in Jalen Noel. But the following players that are questionable return. Now, Pat Bev and Okogie are questionable. Questionable.
So they're questionable to come out of protocol by tonight's game.
You know, but these teams, the Wolves only might put up 68 points, but maybe they'll have a little bit of a defensive front with, you know, Bev and Okogie and McDaniels out there. But they are without Anthony Edwards, Tayshaun Prince, Naz Reid, D'Lo, Karl Anthony Towns, Jared Vanderbilt, and McKinley Wright IV. So,
yeah.
Woof.
Right, but if you're paying for tickets, like, at some point in time, it's what's the point?
Yeah, well, all right, you know what? I'll sip the Wolves Kool-Aid with Macadac out here. I'll say bring on the Jalen Noel show. Okay, bring on the Jalen Noel show. Let's see what he does.
Noble of you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, have you seen, and like, this game... And the Wolves roster that you're talking about is not an isolated problem. Like, this is permeating the league now because so many guys are in COVID protocol. Like, this is the norm of, like, well, let's play a Toronto. I saw a note this morning. The Raptors had players on the team bus introducing themselves. They had never met because they have so many guys that were out. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like, hi, I'm John. Hey, Jeff, nice to meet you. We're going to be teammates tonight. And you're calling this an NBA game. Give my money back.
No, I'll say bring on the Jalen Noel show. If you need
As Stewie said.
Yeah.
Give me back my money, man.
Give me my money. Where's my money? That's good, OJ.
Where's my money, dog?
Yeah.
Where's my money, dog?
Yeah. I will say bring on the Jalen Noel show. And if they need me to sign in, I'll drop a three.
This is the problem.
I'll dish out some assists.
They could literally go get people from the stands at this point.
Yeah,
as long as you don't test positive.
Yeah, that's also true. I this is my first Wolves game as a fan, I think, in almost 10 years.
Okay, so tell me this. All right, so I don't know if you're paying to go or not, and you might not be.
Yeah,
but you're still going to go.
Yeah.
So tell me this: first game in 10 years. Are you not disappointed that you're not going to get anybody, really? I believe, according to Dane, Malik Beasley is the only player on the Wolves roster who makes in excess of $5 million, which, by the way, in this league is not that much.
Right, I know.
Who's going to play? So are you not disappointed that you are, like when you say, it could be the Jalen Noel show? You got to be disappointed.
All right, so I remember the game that I went to. This was in 2012. It was at the, I will say, from the opposing side, it was great because this was at the height of Lynn's sanity. So this was at the height. The Knicks were in town playing the Wolves. And this was in the middle of Lynn's sanity.
I went to this game. I was there as well.
Jeremy Lin dropped 20 points. But all right. But here was, this Wolves team wasn't a complete disaster, but the starting five for the Wolves that night was Love, Rubio, Peck, Luke Ridnour, Wes Johnson played 17 minutes. Michael Beasley off the bench played 30 minutes. Yeah. Wayne Ellington played 11 minutes. Martell Webster logged 9.5 minutes. I don't see that big of a difference. I don't see that big of a difference in this Wolves team from that other team.
Right, but that's my point. Is, like you should see D'Lo, you should see Cat, you should see the the current constructed roster. Ant, I love watching Ant. Mm-hmm. Ant's great to watch. All right, give me a Christmas one before we close here.
Christmas, it was a very golf themed Christmas. I got nice. I got this new jacket. That's a nice little quarter zip up for colder weather golf. I spent it with the gal and her family on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning.
Look at that.
Yeah, yeah. I was over there with them. Had a great time. Got a lot of good stuff. Got some golf stuff. Got
oh, you cleaned up already from them?
I did. Santa came to town for me to them. Yeah, it was great.
Her mom must be really nice.
I mean, her mom likes me. I've won
over
the mom.
That's great, but I mean that's good for her.
I've won over the mom.
That's a good mom.
I mean I'm good with I like to think I'm good with parents, but the mom is a big fan. Mom is a big fan.
I mean that's pretty quick to be like in on.
Oh, you're still on the quickness, huh? You're still crutching to.
That's pretty quick. I'm just saying to clean up. Like I could see one small present for you.
No.
I mean you're old too.
I know. I know. I'm almost 30. I know. I'm not a kid.
I wouldn't get you that much.
No, I know you wouldn't.
I mean, I'd get you something, but I wouldn't get you a mom.
No, I got a bunch of nice stuff. I got some
nice.
Got some cords. I got some golf stuff. Got some new socks. Gotta love a good pair of socks. Yeah, I cleaned up well. I cleaned up very well.
Good for you. That's awesome.
And
all right.
And yep. Well, lastly, too, if we're on the Christmas theme, because yeah. I will bow down to your statement and to your assessment, Don Zolgad, the queen of the charcuterie board. You were correct. I know she pointed out to me on Twitter the difference between last year's board and this year's board, yeah. Which was a little smaller with COVID Judd and Livia Judd, COVID. I should say.
Yeah,
it was more of Livia Judd than it was COVID Judd, I think. But that the charcuterie board that was presented to me, I thought was exquisite. No, Don Zolgad does not mess
yours
around.
Was
with
good.
It was good. Don't get me wrong. It was good.
And so
she did a good job.
So was that your gal's or her mom's?
It was my gal's.
Okay,
she
that
put
was
it all
very
together.
Nice.
Yeah, and she did
but,
a
I mean,
damn good
young.
Job.
She's young. She's young. That's a very nice job.
Yeah.
That's very nice. But yeah, Dawn is the
my God.
The absolute queen of the... I mean, I'll say this. She likes to cook, and she knows what she is doing. She's yeah. very good. Very good. Okay, here's my last Christmas theme statement. I've got the fix for Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I want to hear about this.
Okay, here it is. Christmas Eve day, very chill.
Yeah, it's
Christmas
great day.
Eve, very chill. Almost too chill for a guy like me who's at home and the day drags on. So here's what I got for you.
Okay.
NBA owns Christmas Day. They do a great job. I think 5 games is too much, but nonetheless,
sure.
They do a good. They do
it's
a good
their
job.
Thing. Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about. It. I think it should be like 3 games, but that's fine. When appropriate, National Football League jumps in, does a good job, plays a few games. Christmas Eve is a blank slate. And as we go on now, and I look for more things to like around 6 or 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, say, oh, good, I'll plop down and watch this. It's been a chill day. I'm looking at you, Gary Bettman. I'm looking at you, National Hockey League. Christmas Eve is the day for the National Hockey League Ooh. to grab hold. And here's my idea. 2 games. So I'm not going to say like, oh, they should play 5.
Right,
no,
around
no,
the
no,
clock.
No,
yeah.
no.
Yep.
They should not. An early game, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern. And a late game, 9 p.m. our time.
10.
And 10 Eastern. Doubleheader, marquee names, marquee teams, East Coast game, West Coast game. Edmonton, McDavid against take your pick.
Sure.
Are the Kings a worthy opponent? Take your pick of the worthy opponent on in the West. And then let's go like Ovechkin, Crosby. Rangers
I
with
like that,
Panarin.
Actually.
Anyway, what mm-hmm. I'm saying is, let's grab Christmas Eve and let's take it and make it about hockey as well as the birth of what we all celebrate. But let's take it. Just 2 games, marquee games. that give you something to watch on Christmas Eve.
What about, okay, but I'm a big fan, and they're doing this more this season. I like more the matinee hockey. So I'm actually more inclined to put a 1 o'clock Christmas Eve game than I am at a 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Christmas Eve game. Because at 8, 9 o'clock, you're winding down.
I like, can hear
you
that,
know,
yeah.
You might be doing the last presents wrapping. And I can understand that, well, then I want a game on as I'm, you know, putting all that stuff together.
That's what I was thinking.
But I think it's better Christmas Eve day to just have that on. Because, like, it is, people make the case Christmas Eve is greater than Christmas Day. Like, I've heard the argument that Christmas Eve is a bigger.
It's just devoid of.
Right.
There's like this weird thing about, well, we can't have sports. It's like, well, hold on a second. You can. Like, it's not against the rules of life. You know, I can see that. I'm just saying, I think hockey has, and I'm not trying to say that every team should play. So, like, I'm not saying, like, all the players should be playing. But I think hockey has a unique opportunity here to stage a couple of really marquee games with their new U.S. TV partners, TNT,
I like this.
ESPN, that would give you eyeballs of people who are looking for something to watch.
I like this idea. I dig this.
A lot of people will hate it, but you know what? I'm sure there were a lot of folks who said you shouldn't play basketball on Christmas Day.
And they've killed it.
And it's become a tradition.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I can get down with the Christmas Eve,
with all.
Yeah.
If you want to start a game at 1 p.m., that's fine, too.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. I like that. All
right?
I like
That's my idea. That's my statement. Gary, Bill Daly, NHL, Christmas Eve, it's your time to shine. All right, we are done. I'll be back with AJ tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, we got our call.
Speaking You're
of,
out.
The Marco Rossi coming. Speaking of Rossi coming up, you got Marco Rossi coming, top prospect.
Big prospect.
Yeah.
He's Boldy and Rossi combined.
Garen's going to have me on the trade block here, I think.
And now you're out on Wednesday and Phil's back in
I'm back on Wednesday. I have a goofy schedule this week, but I'm back on Wednesday, and then I'm out the rest of the week.
All right. Outstanding stuff. We will talk to you tomorrow on Mackie and Judd.